I felt Holy Spirit prompting me to take a look at what I felt was a spiritual speed bump that I believe Holy Spirit wants to teach us about in our local church. So I hope you're ready to learn tonight, ready to lean in. Over the past few weeks, I've actually been personally challenged and I have been stopped in my tracks over and over again. It feels like it's just been the last 3 weeks has been, it feels like I've hit one speed bump after another, another wall that I'm looking around trying to figure out how do I scale this wall. It feels like this has been like, what is going on, God? Challenged, and I've been presented with multiple opportunities to face head on, go to face to face with something that felt like, what is preventing me from moving forward in this situation? What is preventing our church from moving forward in this situation? What is it that we're up against, per se? Especially after we just went through spiritual warfare and talking about devils and demons and even angels and the Holy Spirit. I felt like, well, maybe it's Satan, maybe, and his demons, well, maybe. But I felt it was different than that. So I was asking the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, reveal to me what it is or what it might be. If it's spiritual, help God, I pray for the discernment in this season. And I asked Holy Spirit to reveal that to me. And I felt what I was the Lord simply say to me that it was simply flesh. And I'm like, flesh? Really, God? That's it? No, it's not just it, right? The sin nature of man. And I'm like, It was moments for me to self-examine myself. God, what is it in my life that you want to remove and replace with your seeds of righteousness, with your seeds of holiness, rather than my works, rather than whatever it is, or what's in our church, God, that you are trying to reveal and show us and help us learn and grow in? And maybe you've heard this before, but Scripture teaches us this well. We have three very real enemies of our spiritual order. And these are Satan and his demons, the sin-filled influence of our host culture, which we call the world, and the flesh, which is our own sin-filled nature and desires. These are the three very real enemies that we face on a daily basis, sometimes moment to moment. The Satan, the world, and our flesh. So with that being said, I felt prompted by the Holy Spirit to teach and to lean in today about what it means to live a Spirit-led life. Often when we think Spirit-led life, right away, what might come to mind for some of us, isn't that like for those really super spiritual people? Spirit-led life, like you're always praying and interceding and speaking in tongues everywhere you go. You know, spirit, maybe that's what comes to your mind. Or maybe for you, it's like blink, blink, blink. What's for dinner tonight anyway? Right? But today, I really want us to understand and to lean in to understand what the authority that God has given you and invested in you through the power of the Holy Spirit, and how you can walk in that authority, and how you can be led in your life in all of your rhythms and patterns and motivations, desires and agendas. I want to be Spirit-led. I don't want to be led by my flesh or my soul or my body. And we're going to unpack this a little bit tonight. But I want to understand what Christ actually gave us. When he died and when he rose again and he gave us the Holy Spirit, his Spirit, the very mind and character of God in us. And that we can actually live in this fullness, in the fullness of the Spirit, being led by the Spirit. Now, my kids, when they were little, they learned early on that when mom and dad speak or instruct, they need to stop and listen and obey. I need you to listen to me. I remember when Drew was probably the funnest. And if he wasn't listening, he was busy, busy boy. And I'd be like, Drew, I would cradle his face. Drew, stop. Look at me when I'm talking to you and listen. Listen, I want you to do something here. Drew, you looking at me? Drew, I'm talking to you. And sometimes that's how Heavenly Father talks to us, right? Chris, would you, hey, look at me, Chris, would you, whoa, stop. Just listen to me. I want to talk to you. I want to lead you. And I need you to do something. I need you to be obedient in this. And I believe that's Holy Spirit, not just talking to me tonight in this situation, but I believe the whole church here can learn and lean in to understand when Holy Father speaks, that we stop and we listen and we obey. So we taught them from a young age that it's a yes, Dad, yes, Mom, let's get it done. And at the same time, if you need help, just ask. Ask some clarifying questions, but I need you to stop, listen, and obey. Take steps, put it into action, do what I've asked you to do. And if you need help, just come back and ask me. Ask Mom, actually. And the reason for this was that we wanted them to be children of first-time obedience. So often I've seen it, and you've seen it, and if this is you, please don't put your hand up. We're not looking for confession in this moment. Wherever kids are misbehaving and the parents threaten their kids like 35 times in Superstore. Little Johnny, if you don't stop, you're not going to get that treat. Little Johnny. And you can just imagine what little Johnny's doing. Johnny, I don't know if there's anyone named Johnny here. John, sorry, John. Like 30 times, John, right? Without following through with the consequence that they're actually threatening. And if that's you, let me help you with a little family secret. No shame, no judgment. Just teach your children to stop, to listen, and to obey. And if they don't, I'm old school. They got a spanking when they got home. Oh, I'm going to go to jail now probably, but that's okay. I already told Darren, if I go to jail someday, Darren, we'll just preach the gospel from Darren. From jail, sorry, from Darren. He's not up here. That's okay. We'll preach the gospel from jail too. Where was I? Spanking. It's a simple principle. And it's also how we wanted them to learn at a young age to listen and to obey, and that this same principle wasn't just for mom and dad, but it also had spiritual implications in their life as well. See, if you raise up your child in the fear of God, if you raise your child up in the house of the Lord and you teach him while he's young, when he gets old, he will not depart from it. See, those same principles that you're pouring into your children now will apply in their spiritual formation later as well. God's not going to come down and give you a spanking, but he wants to teach you. He wants to nudge you. He wants to guide you. He wants to lead you, right? So if we can learn at a young age, it's a stop, listen, and obey. Man, I could have saved myself a lot of hard lessons. So we want my children to learn this principle. It's listen, obey, and ask for help when needed. See, sometimes we're too proud to ask God for help or our parents, right? I got this, God. Watch this as you'll stumble your way through life, right? But God says, hey, just come and ask me when you need help. I want to teach you. I want to lead you. I want to guide you. But would you stop, listen, and obey and ask for help when you need it? It's first-time obedience. And what I've learned is that the difference between those who are mature in the faith and those who are stagnant in their faithing is that the difference is this, that the mature simply learned early on to listen and to obey. It's actually that simple, but we're overcomplicating our Christ followership some days when all we need to do is to learn to simply listen and obey, friends. We're going to get that in our craw tonight. Is that okay? And to live a Spirit-led life, I believe it's important to understand that the work of the Holy Spirit in us is leading us to repentance, bringing us to salvation. Repentance is just simply saying, I'm no longer the boss of my own life, and I'm going to turn and let the Lord, my forgiver and leader, be the boss of my entire life. That's what repentance is, if that's where you're at right now. That's okay. Bringing us to salvation, being rescued and redeemed and purchased and blood bought. I'm all yours, Jesus. I belong to you. Leading us, that's what he does. Through the Holy Spirit, he leads us into all truth. Brings us into maturity, into what we're going to call tonight spiritual order. Because we've got some things in us. That's what the work of the Holy Spirit's always doing, is ordering chaos. And I love it, because my life sometimes is chaos. And I want Holy Spirit to order those things and help me discipline those areas of my life. So what is spiritual order? How do I understand his principles? And then how do I understand what it means to practice these principles? And see, the Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of God, from the beginning of time has always been in the business of ordering chaos, ordering the disordered. And that is the same work that the Holy Spirit wants to do in every one of us tonight and from this day forward. So with the end in mind tonight, I want to start with drawing your attention to one of Paul's letters to the church in Rome. It's a lengthy passage, but I want to read it for you tonight. So if you have your Bibles, if you want to open them up to Romans chapter 8, verses 1 to 14, I'm going to read the whole thing. If you don't have your Bibles, your iPhones, your iPads, if you want to just sit and listen, that's okay too, but we'll also have it on the screen for you to walk along with me as well. Is it okay if I take my time tonight? I know it's hot in here. I'm sweating buckets already, but it's okay. I really, truly believe that God wants to teach us something powerful tonight. Is that okay? If you need a break, just go to the bathroom, wash your face, and come on back. Romans 8, verses 1 to 14. Therefore, see, this is better than those big buts that I love in the Bible. Therefore means stop and listen. It's really important. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Verse 3, for what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Next slide. Those who live according to the flesh have what? Their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what? Spiritual desires, spirit desires, right? The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Verse 7, the mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Verse 9, next slide. You, friends, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. Verse 10, but if Christ is in you, friends, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, we're going to die. Our bodies are going to die because sin has entered the world and death has entered the world. We're going to die someday. The Spirit gives life to us because of righteousness. And the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of the Spirit, his Spirit, who lives in you. Therefore, stop and listen again. Brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh to live according to it. Verse 13, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of your body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Now, it's a lengthy passage, and we're going to unpack this a little bit. It's a listening to obey is what we're talking about tonight. God speaks, and I obey, and Holy Spirit leads, and I follow. What we need to learn is just to need to learn how to be led by the Spirit in our lives. We live this life now through the Spirit, not through the flesh, we're learning here. We don't have to struggle and strive to do good if you have Christ living in you. God is doing the very work inside of you through the power of the Holy Spirit. The very substance that you need in order to flourish where God has planted you is actually already inside of you if you were a follower of Jesus. And some of you have been praying, friends, for things that you already have been given. And you've got the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit residing in you, and you just keep trying to do it on your own. See, grace is more than just what covers your multitude of sins, friends. Grace is also the power that actually empowers you to live righteously before Christ in proper order before God. And that grace was given to us by the Spirit of God. So now the Spirit of God is in you. And now what it is, it's time to be what? To be led by the Spirit that is in me. And if we are sons and daughters of the living God, we are being led by the Spirit. Like I said in verse 14 of Romans 8, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are called children of God. See, when you are led by the Spirit, like in verse 13, you just don't pray away your struggles. See, you're still going to walk through some junk. You're still going to walk through some crap. You're still going to walk through some pain and hurt. You're still going to have all kinds of things that you're going to have to face. You can't pray away everything that you are walking through. I was talking to Kevin tonight. Some of the things that you're going through is actually helping you to learn. And it's okay, right? The tensions, if you don't have tensions, you can't even grow. You have to be able to face those tensions and walk through those tensions and walk through conflict to resolve the conflict as the Holy Spirit is leading us to do so. It's not about avoidance. It's about walking through. But guess what? You're not alone, friends. The Holy Spirit is empowering you to live righteously. So why? So that you can give glory to the Father. That's a really good time to say, oh God, I'm so happy. I'm so happy that you're with me. Oh man. We don't just pray away our struggles like, oh God, please, pretty please, take away my porn addiction tonight, my anger issues, my marriage problems. When you actually have the power inside of you to actually put those deeds to death, right? The deeds of the flesh to death. When you live by the Spirit, you walk by the Spirit. When you live by the flesh, you walk in submission to the flesh and its desires. But what I want to do and what I hope to encourage you to do and to reflect on tonight is I want to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. I want to stop and listen and obey just like a good child of the living God. Of course, it's your choice to put on whatever shoes you want. I love nice kicks. It's your choice, right? We got a brain. We can eat granola for dinner. We can, there's all kinds of choices that you can make. Day-to-day choices. All the time, right? But what I believe the Lord is saying to us is deeper than that, at Beloved City Church, is that Holy Spirit wants to lead us in putting to death the works and the deeds of the flesh. We are actually being led by the Spirit to do this, and we actually need the Spirit of God to accomplish this. Why? Because our spirit and our flesh are at war with one another. See, we were talking about spiritual warfare, and God's like, wait, hold the phone. We need to talk about some flesh a little bit. Because we forget sometimes it's actually my flesh is at war with the Spirit inside of me. Galatians 5 and 16 says it this way, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. But friends, if you are led by the Holy Spirit, you are not under the law. So you're not trying to do this religiously like some Pharisee who's got to prove everybody wrong or whatever. Look at me, I'm holy and righteous. No, it's not on your own works or on your good looks or charm or whatever you might use, right? But you are led by the Spirit and you're no longer under the law. See, the law kills, and this is why religion kills. Why instruction to do this and don't do this. Everyone knows when you're told not to do something, you're like peeking around the corner. I wonder what it would be like if I just did it. You want to do the opposite, right? Every six-year-old, and like, sometimes that's what I feel like. I got a little nine-year-old inside of me that's like, watch this. Hold my church beer, Buble. Most everyone here has been a teenager somewhere in our lifespan, right? See, when you live under a law, it kills. When you live under rules, there's temptation. If there's no rules, there's no temptation. If there's no law, there's no temptation. So you're facing temptation. We all do. We all walk through it. It's because there is rules. But we don't live by those rules. We don't live for those rules, actually. But when we understand grace, that it is actually the empowerment to live righteously. This is God's design. He gives you the Holy Spirit. And if we understand that we've got the Spirit of God living inside of us, leading us into all righteousness, this is right standing and holiness, being separate from the things of this world, leading us into all truth. See, if we only have grace, friends, we have license to sin. If we only have truth, we have legalism and live by a religious set of rules. See, we need grace and truth. That's what we need, both and. And we live in this tension sometimes. I get it. We're human beings. We're not perfect. We don't have it all figured out. I get it. But we need both and. Grace leads us into all truth. What do we need to do? We need to listen and to obey, or we will only walk in one or the other. Friends, my encouragement is that we would lean into, begin and to continue per se, following our leader instead of following the influences and the noise and the voices of our host culture Or even more so, even our emotions. How many, you don't put up your hands, please don't. How many times have you been led in an emotional decision? Instead of following the passions and the cravings of my body and my flesh. So we must understand if this is the case, because we all have been there. And sometimes some of us might even be there still. So I want to break this down to help somebody tonight. We learn from the book of beginnings, which is called Genesis, that God designed you and I in his image in Genesis 1 and 26 to 27. It says, then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. So then in verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. So God created us, friends, in his image, and the devil hates it that we look like God, by the way. That's why he's doing everything he can to pervert and destroy what God said was good in this world that he created. God created us in his image. And we also learn that we have these distinct parts. I would say there's three distinct parts of our makeup, our design, and we have a spirit, and we have a soul, and we have a body. And then sin and the flesh and the world, they disorder this design and cause chaos both in us and around us. Yet there are principles that we can learn for spiritual order that the Holy Spirit wants to show you. Hey, I'm trying to reveal to you tonight that there's a spiritual ordering that I want to do in your life. And we can learn this from Scripture, and then we can choose to embrace them in our daily rhythms. And this is important because understanding the spiritual ordering that the Holy Spirit is working in us, this leadership will actually help us and empower us to conquer sin in our lives, to put those misdeeds to death in your life, to walk in holiness, and to actually experience the fullness of the freedom that God has designed you to walk in. And this reordering of chaos to bring about orderly living in our lives, to bring death to life, to bring darkness to light. It's called sanctification. It's a big word, but I'm going to unwrap that for you. This is the process of making you and I holy in every way. Paul talks about this in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23. I've got a few scriptures tonight. I hope you don't mind if I preach from the Bible tonight. That was a trick question, eh? 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23, he says this, now may the God of peace make you holy, or some translations, or sanctify you in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. See, there's a process going on in our lives. This is sanctification going on in our lives, where we're being made right before God and righteous, and this Holy Spirit is doing the work in us. Because you and I, we're born into sin. We're born into a broken world and fall short of God's mark of perfection. Righteous. Romans 3 and 23 confirms this for us, that we all have sinned, so no one here is free of ever sinning. We've all sinned, and we've actually fallen short of the mark, or short of the glory of God. And here's the fun part, are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And these three distinctive parts of us that God created in his image, your whole spirit and soul and body, which, by the way, are inseparable here and now and need saving and need rescuing, are being made holy and kept blameless until Jesus comes again, whether he comes in the sky or whether you die tomorrow. He's coming for you. God created us with these three distinct parts, and I want to break them down for you so we can unpack them just a little bit to help you understand what Holy Spirit is doing in our lives and how he's ordering our lives from chaos. Slide number 10 for us. I can't even see who's back there. Is it Juliet back there? Oh, you're on here. All right. Number one, we have a spirit that must be redeemed. Number two is we have a soul that must be restored. And number three is we have a body that must surrender. See, in the moment of salvation, our spirit man is made alive in Christ and immediately, friends, put into right standing or right relationship with God. And this is a free gift of salvation, by the way. You don't have to do anything but choose to follow Jesus. Say yes to Jesus. Available to all through faith. Scriptures call this beautiful event and moment of salvation justification, just as if I've never sinned. The Apostle Paul writes about this in Romans 5, in verse 1. He says it this way. Therefore, again, I love those therefores. Stop and listen. We have been justified by faith. We have peace now with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice. We are filled with joy in hope of the glory of God. See, all humanity were found guilty before the court of God's law. But Jesus, but God, because of his sacrifice, the righteousness of God is given to all who will believe on him. The guilty sentence is transformed into a sentence of justified and justified by faith, resulting in peace with God and grace, an unmerited favor with God, and an indwelling empowerment to live this life out righteously before him. Now, I believe that the difficulty is this, for each of us to understand that the soul and body requires time and a willing participation to be conformed to the image of Christ. This is the state of being in process, the sanctification we're talking about. How long this process takes depends on our willingness to listen. Hey, Chris, look at me. Stop, listen, and obey. How long the process takes is how willing I'm in. Yes, Father, I'm listening. Yes, I will choose to obey, and I will take steps in action to live that out because of the grace inside of me. To listen and to obey the Holy Spirit, to engage with the Word of God in our lives, and to accept it as absolute truth in my life, and to apply it to all circumstances that I'm walking through. You've probably heard this before, and I'll be honest, I've used this before myself as an excuse. Some of you might resonate. When you make a bad decision, you I'm in process. That's why I got angry today. It's because I'm still in process. And hey, I get it. We make mistakes. We make decisions, and there's a fruit of that decision. And we excuse it sometimes, our bad decisions and our disordered soul. But I would encourage you to keep making the choice to stop excusing yourself from the process that God wants to walk you through and walk you in. The grace is empowering you, God's grace, to live righteously. I'd ask instead, and this is what I have to ask myself when I look in the mirror of the Word of God and say, hey, when did I stop praying? When did I stop reading the Word of God? When did I stop being faithful in my finances? When did I stop listening for the Holy Spirit? When did I stop aligning my time and my energy and my finances with God's will and plan for my life? No wonder there's disorder. No wonder there's chaos in my life, because somewhere along the way, I stopped listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, who wants to be more than just a forgiver in your life, but also your leader. In Galatians 4:19, Paul is referring to witnessing this sanctification process. And often, anyone who's ever been in leadership, whether it be in business or in church or as pastors or leaders, Paul's saying this to the church that he already led to Christ. He says, my little children, for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. He's talking to Christians, friends. It's almost like he's saying, I need to bring you to Christ all over again. Paul is saying, Paul knew that his work of forming Christ in them was not complete until they actually stayed in a place of trusting Jesus. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, but he's also given us the offices of leaders in our life as well that help us, to coach us, to encourage, to lead, and to preach and to teach. Mentors and elders of the faith. See, it's not that leaders, maybe speak to you for a moment. Leaders, it's not that we want people to be conformed to your image or my image. It's not that you need to look a certain way or act a certain way or speak a certain way or worship a certain way. It's not that. That's not the image that you've been created in, nor are you being conformed into, but you are created in the image of God and you are actually being conformed in the image of Christ. So that's what we call a point leadership. It's not me, don't follow me, but let's follow Jesus together. Let's look to him as the author and finisher of our faith. Walking in obedience, stopping to listen for the Holy Spirit instead of drifting away from this process of conforming to the image of Christ. His way, his truth. It pains us, friends, to watch the spiritual miscarriage of disorderly souls that have been led to Christ. Some might call it in Scripture backsliding or backslidden. It's the disordering of our lives that we've allowed and permitted again, instead of allowing Holy Spirit to order us, to bring spiritual order in our lives and discipline, where we're actually stopping to listen and to hear and to obey the voice of our God. Somewhere amidst the chaos of our host culture and in the passions of your flesh or my flesh too, we get distracted and we wander and we distance ourselves from being led by the Spirit. And yet we have laborers of the faith who labor again and again and again in praying and teaching and prophesying and trusting that the word of God that falls from their lips would enter the heart of the hearer, and that the Holy Spirit would impregnate the word of God so that it would bring forth the fruit of faith in your life. We aren't designed to walk this spiritual journey alone, this faith journey alone. First off, you have the grace of God given to you, empowering you and giving you the ability and the strength to walk this life that you've been given, to empower you to live righteously. But you've also been given gifts from Christ to help you. And we can talk about spiritual gifts, but I want to talk about leadership gifts in your life. Like the Apostle Paul teaches us this in Christ in Ephesians 4:7, grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. We've each been given grace as a gift. And verse 8, he gave gifts to men. And then in Ephesians 4:11-16, he says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. See, friends, the ancient Greek word here used for equipping is to put right. Was used to describe setting broken bones or mending broken nets. For building up the body of Christ, he goes on, these are ministries working together to produce strong and mended and fit Christ followers. That's the work of the ministry, to equip, to put right. Verse 13, for what? Until we attain the unity of the faith. We're walking together in on purpose, following Jesus. We together are unified, centered around Jesus. This is the first goal of God's work through the gifted offices and equipping that the saints is receiving. And he goes on, end of the knowledge of the Son of God. See, when the gifted works offices work right and the saints are properly equipped, Christian maturity increases and there's a greater state of intimacy in the experience of God. He goes on to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. See, the gifted offices and equipped saints bring the saints to maturity according to the very measure of Jesus himself. Verse 14, why? So that we may no longer be children who are doing whatever they want or tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunningness, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. See, the gifted offices and equipped saints result in stability being firmly planted on the foundation of the apostles and prophets that we find in the scripture, in the word of God. He goes on, verse 15, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the very head, into Christ, he clarifies, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it's equipped. when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. See, you have the grace of God dwelling in you to empower you to live righteously. You've been given spiritual leaders and mentors and eldership in your life to help point you back to Jesus, to put right that which is broken, and to the nets that need mending in your life, to guide you and lead you into full maturity. But let me unpack this a little bit further when we talk about the spirit, the soul, and the body. The spirit, like we mentioned, is a spirit that must be redeemed, a spirit that must be our spirit man. This is the part of us that will live eternally. You are a spiritual being having a temporary physical experience here on earth, rather than a physical being having a temporary spiritual experience. And God's plan for us, His design for us, is that our redeemed spirit man becomes the strongest part of our three-part design. Be the command center of our life, of who we are and what we do as we continue to live in obedience to His Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5 talks about this redeemed man, this new creation in Christ, 5 and 17. Therefore, again, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. What has happened? The old has gone. It's passed away and dead. Behold, the new has come. And all this is from God, not of your own works. That was for free. Who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So we're partnered with Christ in seeing other people being brought into relationship with God. That's the ministry of reconciliation. See, the moment that we are saved, that we are rescued from sin, brokenness, and shame, our day of salvation, our spirit man is made alive in Christ, friends. I am no longer my old self, but a new man and a new woman with new cravings. I might not have a new person. I might not talk different. I might not look different in a whole lot of ways, but I'm a new creation. So I've got new passions. I've got new motivations. I've got a new heart. Forever redeemed and made righteous before the Father, given the very gift of eternal life, we receive the grace of God through faith and by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And immediately, we have the ability to be in right relationship with God. And friends, just as a bride and groom are united in matrimony and become one flesh, what scripture refers as to ginoskos, to know intimately, we talked about in our last series. At the moment of your salvation, your spirit and the spirit of Christ are united and become one. Whose are you? You are God's children. 1 Corinthians 16 talks into this, says, but he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with Him. You're not alone in this journey that you are on. My spirit man is redeemed. I am one with Christ, and I'm empowered by His grace that's living and dwelling inside of me. Second, we have the soul, our souls that must be restored. See, the soul is, I believe, is one of God's most beautiful creations. It enables us to experience relationships and appreciate the beauty of our surroundings. We have been made in the image of God with the capacity to think and to reason and to express emotions. God could have programmed us to do and be whatever He wanted us to do and be, but instead He gave us the ability to choose. And our souls are made up, to help you understand our soul, the soul is made up of three parts too, I would say. The mind, which thinks and reasons, and the will, which makes choices, and the emotions, which believe, feel, and actually remember. The soul is complex, friends, and can often be confusing, especially since our host culture disciples us in being led by our emotions. And we're often accustomed to our soul taking the lead in our lives. My mind, will, and emotions lead me rather than my redeemed spirit man who's been made one in Christ. See, early on in our life, we learn to take instruction from our souls. We've all, like I said earlier, we've seen the toddler who throws himself on the floor and demands his own way. He, she is being led by his soul when he holds his breath until the parent gives to his demands. We might think that only happens in children, but many adults live a soul-led life as well. Your temper tantrum just looks different. Like we read earlier, Paul says, if you walk by the Spirit, friends, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And if you are led by the Spirit, this is Galatians 5:18, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Then he describes what this works of the soul-led nature is. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions and division, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like this. See, it's interesting how division is even put up there with sexual immorality. But these are works of the flesh. But as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So too often when we don't choose to live in obedience to the leading of the Holy Spirit, what are we doing? Who are we following? What's our leader? We live our lives sometimes as cultural Christians rather than Christ followers, distracted by every little thing that passes before our eyes, instead of listening and obeying the Holy Spirit and adopting and practicing spiritual disciplines. Growing in my ability to avert my eyes from every temptation that is presented. Growing more and more easily distracted by self-indulgent desires for comfort and consumerism and careerism. This is the idols of our host culture, friends. We sometimes follow the noisy influence of our host culture more than we do stop and listen for the Holy Spirit to lead us. Our host culture continues to prescribe popularity and possessions and pleasure and power to fulfill the lust of the flesh, our human passions and cravings. And that is why one of our cultural prescriptions here at Beloved City Church for the symptom that we recognize as the self-indulgent lifestyle is this, that Jesus is our everything. Jesus has got to be my everything, at the center of every decision, at the center of my passions, at the center of my sexuality, at the center of every craving that I have, at the center of my life. Jesus has got to be my everything. That's the prescription for the symptoms that we see of our world who indulges himself in everything that we can imagine, the pleasures of our flesh. You will be, when you're led by Jesus, you will be stopping to listen and obey the Holy Spirit in your daily rhythms. Your life will be shaped by his grace and his truth. And you will be motivated and activated and moved by his love. You will be conforming to his likeness, friends. It will show fruit in your use of your time, the things that God's given you for free, the gifts that you're walking in, your time and your energy and your talent and your finance. It all belongs to God and he's given it to you. And it will show fruit, will show in these areas of our life and who we're stopping and listening to. Friends, we have a soul that needs to listen and to obey the Holy Spirit. We're talking about spiritual ordering, leading by the Holy Spirit, a spirit-led life, restored back to its original design for good and holy works of righteousness. This will require us to learn, to listen, and to obey the Holy Spirit for his leading, for his correction, and his direction for our mind, our will, and our emotions. Thirdly, the body. We have a body that must surrender, friends. Our physical bodies, created in the very image of God, created both male and female, distinctly different and uniquely similar. We have complex bodies. The systems that function in us and our bodies for health and wholeness are vitally important to our very existence here and now as we breathe and as our heart is pumping blood to my legs and to my hands. Yet again, our host culture, our world around us, where you live, work, play, and study, is teaching us to worship our bodies, to mutilate our bodies, to ingest things into our bodies that cause sickness and harm. See, the devil wants you to dishonor and rebel against God's design. That's what he wants. He wants to destroy your body. He wants to dishonor us before God. He wants to mock the very creation of God that is good and pleasing, to destroy us. The psalmist, you remember this one, Psalms 139 says, I praise you. The psalmist is saying, I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully. We are made in a wonderful way. Beautiful, wonderful are your works, God. You created me in your image. It's a beautiful design. Your body isn't to be shamed. Stop fat shaming yourself or whatever we do nowadays. Stop dishonoring your body. Your body is, we're going to get into it, but your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Take care of it. Honor it. But we don't worship it. My soul knows it very well. We have a body that is wonderfully designed. So we need to learn to submit and surrender to the leading of the Holy Spirit in our body as well. So our spirit man, our soul, which is our mind, will, and emotions, and my body needs to be spiritually in order. Chaos is being ordered by the Holy Spirit when I'm walking in the Spirit, when I'm led by the power of the Holy Spirit, permitting Holy Spirit to teach my body to listen and to. That's why we do fasting, why we practice fasting. It's me helping my body learn to surrender to the Holy Spirit, to stop and to listen to what Holy Spirit is saying. Submitting and surrender, to come under the authority of a redeemed spirit man who is listening and obeying Holy Spirit. See, our host culture prescribes to the school of thought that your body is yours and that you do whatever you want with it. But Paul, again in Scripture, once again sees us so differently, and he's urging us to think the same, to see our body as the temple of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 6 and 18, he says, flee, run from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. And he goes on, here's what we're talking about. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You're not your own, friends, if you're a follower of Jesus. For you're bought with a price, paid in full. So what does he say? So glorify God in your body. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. See, in the Old Testament, in the presence of God was housed in this inner sanctuary of the temple called the Holy of Holies. And at the death of Jesus, the veil of the temple was torn and the presence of God moved out of the structure and now dwells in the hearts of all believers, friends. Just as you and I wouldn't probably go into a church and shatter all the windows and spray paint the walls and upend everything, destroy the furniture, I would say, why would you do anything that would intentionally harm your body? They're special and designed by God and given to us to carry out the plans, to carry out the mission that God actually has for us in this earth. So what do? We learn how to take care of our bodies so we can do all that God intends for us, friends. Can you imagine, and this is for me too, friends, can you imagine if your diet reduces your lifespan by 10 years? What more God could have accomplished through a well-disciplined body that is listening to and obeying the Holy Spirit? It's important to listen. See, God is just trying to prompt us to say, to listen and hear that he's ordering chaos in our lives. It's called spiritual order. When our body and our soul and our spirit man is in submission and in surrender to the living God who is living within us and empowering us to live this life out righteously and holy before God, it's beautiful. Yes, our bodies have appetites, good and bad. Scripture says to be careful of any sin that leads to our flesh getting anything it wants. And so often cultural Christians, we want to know how far we can go and sin against our own bodies per se and still enjoy the benefits of God's blessing. The problem with the snare of sin is that it never will satisfy you. Never satisfies. You'll keep coming back to that same table that keeps coming up empty for you. And God's saying, friend, would you just listen, Chris? Listen, look at me when I'm talking. We don't have to live our life constantly looking to fulfill the next unsatisfying craving that we have. Carnal desires cause us to need more satisfaction. And though we may satisfy them in the moment, the craving soon returns. And guess what it does? It brings back increased intensity This cycle continues to repeat itself time and time again until we break it off by the power of the Holy Spirit. We can live fulfilled in Christ and in his purpose and in his design. My body, my soul, my spirit can live in submission to the Holy Spirit. Scripture says it so beautifully in 1 Corinthians 6, all things are lawful for me, but not everything is helpful. All things are lawful, but I will not be dominated by anything. See, the spiritual order we're talking about provides a framework for living a spirit-led life. Friends, you and I can live purposely in a spiritual-led life led by the Holy Spirit. We totally can, with appropriate intentionality. We can stop and we can listen. We must learn to live with our spirit man united with God, and for your soul and your body to live in submission to your spirit that's been redeemed by Christ. In other words, your spirit, which is now one with God, calls the shots, and the soul and the body are following the leader. Are you with me still? See, when we withhold gratification, and we're in a world of instant gratification. Man, if I don't have instant oatmeal for breakfast, I don't have time to make eggs and bacon and all that fun stuff like Kevin does. But when we withhold gratification, I'm kidding, Kevin. But when we withhold gratification from our souls and our bodies, guess what they do? They get loud. What's loud in your life, friends? What's loud? What's calling your name every waking moment or every time you have 15 minutes to spare? What are you doing with that 15 minutes? What's loud in your life? Our spirit, on the other hand, when not fed or when not nourished, gets really quiet. You need to learn to be intentional, to feed your spirit, to stop and to listen and to be in the Word of God, to be in prayer, to be in worship, to be in meditation. You know what the word meditation means? It's like the same the word that they use to describe the cow that eats some grass and he chews it and swallows it, burps it back up and regurgitates it, swallows it, pulls it back up, regurgitates. Keep that. That's meditation. You're meditating on the Word day and night. You're regurgitating, swallowing, spitting it back up. Sounds like feed your spirit. Why? Because when Holy Spirit leads you, Galatians 5:22 says, when Holy Spirit's actually controlling our lives, when we listen to and obey Holy Spirit, guess what? He will produce this kind of fruit that you keep looking for in letting your soul and body lead the way. You're looking for pleasure and popularity and possessions and power. But this is what Holy Spirit does. He produces fruit of spirit as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such things, there is no law. Holy Spirit will lead us if we are willing to participate. Stop and listen. What do we need to do? We need to make Jesus our Lord again. Sometimes he's just not our Lord. You maybe have made that decision a long time ago when you got dunked in water and woo, everyone shouts around you. 3 days later, you're doing the same old thing and you're going back to the old ways of life like a dog returns to its vomit, Scripture says. And that's just not God's design for your life. He's actually given you the Holy Spirit to empower you to live your life righteously before him. So stop making that choice. Or maybe some of you, it's only been a few weeks or months, but I believe for us, this message for us today, tonight, is to remind us to make Jesus our Lord. You have to decide every day sometimes, as even every 30 seconds of your day, if that's what it takes to let Jesus be your Lord. Morning, afternoon. See, what lordship really is, like I mentioned earlier, it's really just simply deciding who's in charge today. Who's in charge? Is my body? Is my mind, will, and emotions in charge? My flesh, the cravings and passions of my flesh? Or is Holy Spirit leading my mind, will, and emotions and cravings, where I go and what I do and how I talk and who I hang out with and how I spend that 15 minutes before bed? Who is leading who? Because in my family, my children know that mom and dad are the boss. And there's no negotiating. There's no manipulation. It's the way it is. There is an established authority in our household. That mom and dad have the authority in the home, and they yield to that authority. If you want the benefits of this household, if you want the blessings of this household, if you want the safety and the protection of this household, the peace and the harmony of this household, then you yield to the instruction of the household. It's the same with God, friends. Some of us are still having temper tantrums to get our way with God, trying to negotiate and manipulate God, trying to do things your own way and on your own strength, and rejecting the instructions of the household. Yet you still want the blessings, the protection, the peace, and the safety that God wants to give you, the favor of his kingdom. Then guess what? You need to yield your life to being obedient to his kingdom. Who's your Lord, friends? What's loud in your life? Who's leading your body and soul? Who's on the throne of your heart? It's a fundamental problem that we have as cultural Christians sometimes. We might look like Christ followers and do some really Christian things, yet we are finding it harder and harder to hear the very voice of God because we haven't completely surrendered our full lives to him. Everything. It's leaving behind everything. My nets and my boat. And we sometimes hold on to the portions of our lives to be the boss of. And you've given compartments to him. You can have this, God. You can have all this area of my life, God. But not quite this part. But you need to live with spiritual order, friends, and yielding, living fully surrendered to the leading of the Holy Spirit. There's no middle ground. There's no neutrality. He's either in control or he's not. He's not halfway in control. He's not like over here and driving the wheel like this. He's either in control or he's not. It's simple. He's either your Lord or he's not. He's either your king or he's not, friends. If we're going to be led by his Spirit, we must learn to surrender and yield my entire life and all my passions and all my rhythms to the leadership and lordship of Jesus. Let me make this personal for a moment. Maybe you have trust issues with Jesus. Maybe you feel like he doesn't have your best interests at heart. Maybe you don't think he'll actually come through for the blessings that he talks about in Scripture. I would say maybe we should check our hearts. Some of us just might be living with a divided heart, a heart that is torn between soul-led and spirit-led. You have a loyalty between two things, a foot in two different worlds. Yet Scripture teaches us that a kingdom divided cannot stand. A household divided will not stand. Jesus said that. And when you are a follower of Jesus Christ, it must be him and him alone that you follow. It's also why Jesus said, according to Scripture, that you cannot love money and love God at the same time. You're two different masters. You're going to serve one or the other. Where your treasure is also where your heart is. So who do you trust? What do you treasure? Is it your finances, or do you trust the provider and owner of everything in this universe who's been given some gifts to you to steward for his goodness and glory? We've got a loyalty of here or over here. Soul, spirit, me, Christ, king, me. And that is the war that we're experiencing. And that's why sometimes we're so anxious and worried, and why I'm restless when it's time to sleep. Why we're trying to work five jobs to make it all happen. Why your relationship is under duress. And we continue to make poor decisions because we have this issue of a divided heart. We have this issue of divided interests and divided loyalties. But oh, that we would just learn to surrender to all God has for us, all of our loyalty and obedience to being unified in the very Spirit of God. our soul, our body, and our spirit, living in submission to his lordship. And we would have a single-mindedness, not double, like scripture talks about. That we would have a heart that is completely yielded, no matter the cost, friends. No matter the discomfort. Remember I said comfort is one of those idols that host culture puts up. Comforts and consumerism, careerism. Those are idols that our host culture prescribes to. But we can tear down those idols and we can destroy it, leave them behind. Just leave them behind and say, Jesus, I want to follow you as Lord and leader of my life. And it gets just uncomfortable sometimes. It's not always perfect. It's sometimes messy, but I'm still trusting to lean in and to listen and to obey Holy Spirit. No matter whether I can see the outcome or not, or what others are even doing, yielding to a spirit-led life. I refuse, friends, to have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom of heaven. It doesn't work. It won't work. It never will. It's all in. Jesus is our everything. I can't wait to see which one's going to come through for me and hedge my bets or put my bets or table my bets or whatever it is. But that we would have a heart that's completely yielded to a spirit-led life. Philippians 2:8 talks about Jesus being obedient even unto death. And he leads us in the same way to pick up your cross and come follow me. It's dying to that. It's leaving behind. It's dead. It's gone. I'm a new man. He was being led by the Spirit of God. I'm sure his flesh did not want to endure the suffering that he endured. But he was being led by the Spirit of God because God knows the end of the story, friends. The same Spirit of God came into us to save us and to deliver us and to resurrect us from death to life and to empower us. When we choose to be led by the Spirit of God will never lead you into disobedience. The Spirit of God will never leave you into rebellion and into self-indulgence, never will. He just doesn't, he can't. He will always lead us to be obedient. However, we have to choose to listen and to take the steps to be obedient. Friends, Holy Spirit's word for us today is this. It's simply time to listen and to obey the leading of the Holy Spirit. This is actually how you live a blessed life. This is how you live a life of peace. It's where your joy is actually found. If your life is full of chaos tonight, so much that's out of order, every one of us, as we reflect tonight, Holy Spirit's going to lead us and prompt us in areas of our life that are disordered. Nothing seems to be coming together for you. Your thought life is plagued with every thought and worry, and you're caught up in what feels like a hamster's wheel. Here's what you need to do. Check the areas of your life that you are not obeying in. If your finances are in absolute disarray, are you listening to the Holy Spirit and aligning your finances with God's principles and practices? But hey, I want that. I know, but you don't got the money for it, girl. You can't afford to buy that. Your credit card's already maxed up. Your spiritual order is in disarray. And now I'm in debt and I'm stressed. And I can't bring my first and best to the Lord. Why don't we listen for the leading of the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit's inside of you. He's not far from you. And if you don't know Jesus in this intimate way that we've talked about tonight a little bit, we will give you an opportunity tonight to invite him into your life as well. Because he wants to fill you with his power. He wants to fill you with his presence. He wants to provide you sweet leadership in your life. He leads you into life abundant. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead desires to live inside of you, friends. You can have access to the same power. He wants to fill you. He wants to help you overcome your mind and your heart, your will and your emotions, your bodily cravings. All you have to do is listen and obey. It's that simple. It seems really difficult, doesn't it? And I know sometimes we don't want to, because it feels so good to be the boss of my life. It feels good to react with anger sometimes, doesn't it? Flip them the bird. It feels good to experience immediate gratification. It feels good to play my video games instead of reading my Bible sometimes. It feels good to lay down and binge watch my shows and not pray. To eat whatever I want. To not exercise. Ugh, exercise. But it doesn't produce the fruit of the Spirit in you. You're looking for peace, but you're looking for it in the wrong place. Would you stop with me and listen to the Holy Spirit? And then choose to obey what the Holy Spirit is saying. Spiritual reordering of your life, friends, is absolutely vital and necessary for you to enjoy all that God has for you. Now, tonight I want to try something different because I want us to reflect, but I want us to stand to our feet tonight to disrupt our comfort just for a few more moments. Although it's hot in here, it's probably not even comfortable anyway. But all around the room, as we honor his presence and his word today, heads bowed all around the room and eyes closed, I want to pray. But I want to just give you a moment to stop, to listen, even to reflect on it for a few moments.